Think of it as a way to measure how a company is doing beyond just making money.
There is a new voice in the mix, and it is going to be a lot of fun. Hello and welcome back to yet another episode on the Mission Shunya podcast. 5 years and 100 episodes later, it is a good time to give the podcast a new twist. Of course, few things are going to be the same, like my voice, but we will have a new structure. Rather than hosting one episode every 2 weeks, shuffling between multiple topics around the core theme of global net zero carbon transition, we will now have a mini-series of episodes centered around one theme around Mission Shunya. That makes it a lot of fun because you will get to listen to multiple experts in the series, more voices in every episode, different perspectives, which is going to make it a whole lot interesting. So the first in the series production is around ESG. That is environmental, social and governance side of doing business. So let's start with the basics. What is it in the first place?
Well, think of it as a way to measure how a company is doing beyond just making money. The E stands for environmental, which means looking at things like how much pollution a company creates, how it uses energy, and how it treats the planet overall. The S stands for social, which is all about how a company treats people, both inside and outside the company. This includes things like how it treats its employees, how diverse its workforce is, and how it interacts with the communities where it operates. And finally, the G stands for governance, which is all about how a company is run. This includes things like how transparent it is with its shareholders, how fair its executive pay is, and how accountable its leaders are. So when we talk about ESG, we're really talking about looking at a company from three different angles: how it impacts the environment, how it treats people, and how it's run. It's kind of like a report card for companies, giving investors and others a way to see not just how profitable a company is, but also how responsible it is.
Well, that was the fundamentals of ESG. And yes, this is one of the new voices you will hear on the podcast. It is a voice generated by AI. And yes, we will see more of it every now and then. But we will not stop from tapping into the views of global experts.
Now, ESG is environmental, social, governance. These are categories of information.
That is the voice of Gabriel Thome, CEO of Responsible Alpha. He goes on to share the origin story of ESG with some interesting trivia.
Within environment, we have climate change, water, deforestation, land use, oceans, biodiversity, chemical dispersion. On S for social, we'll have supply chains, employee and community relationships, diversity and gender, and many other issues. And in governance, it's company leadership, board compensation, executive compensation, risk management, internal procedures, and also governance of supply chains and facilities. And there are many other factors. But if we note, sustainability and sustainable development goals are very broad. There's 17 of them and 232 metrics.
Correct.
And ESG is a very thin silo of where corporations or institutions, whether public or private, or in the non-for-profit or non-governmental, or if they're non-governmental organizations, will report on these criteria to communicate both policies and impacts around their mission. Now, I promised a history, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
That's exactly how far back we wanted to go. And so the bullet points for today's conversation is that E, S, and G are separate and have come together as a theory of change. So we can look at the G component in governance and draw direct parallels to the 1929 crash of the stock market in the United States and the resulting 1933 Securities Act passed by Congress and the 1934 Securities Act passed by Congress. Because in both of those, they started requiring the standardization of financial information, including non-financial information around board structure and governance. There's the G.
This is interesting.
Yeah, and the E goes back similarly. Now, the term ESG was coined in a 2005 report, Who Cares Wins, that was published by the United Nations and the private sector. Now, yet the criteria that we find inside of ESG, for example, how many members are there on a board of directors? We can trace that back to 1933. Now, answering, ESG has been an outside looking inside business model and assessment process in aggregate. To say someone's an ESG analyst and looking at all the criteria, I was sitting on the outside looking in until 2015. Yet, financial analysts, investment analysts, credit analysts, portfolio managers, all have been looking at G for 100 years, right? But ESG as a whole, right, was on the outside. Then in 2015, three things happened. One, the Paris Agreement occurred and COP21. And COP21 is so interesting because it's the opposite approach of the 1997 Kyoto Protocol, right? Because in the Kyoto Protocol, of course, we had a stick approach. It's one, legally binding. Two, if criteria is not met, penalties occur. A very different approach. And not all actors had to follow, had to decrease their emissions. Not all countries. Now with Paris Agreement, instead we have a carrot approach. The Paris Agreement is an agreement, yet it's not legally binding. And it allows for each country, based on their own economic landscape, their own ecological landscape, their own cultural landscape, determine what is their transition model look like from a policy perspective, including and which policies need to be in play so they can transition to a low carbon economy. And what we find is countries now are, because of peer pressure, for real, increasing their commitments. There's a case where Japan published an initial draft of their commitment, and South Korea published a slightly more rigorous draft, so Japan had to improve their draft. So that's the first thing that happened in 2015. But then the second thing that happened in 2015 is Mark Carney, who was at the time the governor of the Bank of England, September of 2015, gave a speech called Tragedy of the Horizons, and where he eloquently described, regardless of what one may believe about nature and how we are impacted by climate, the knowledge and the data means that us in the private sector and us as members of the financial institution community need to be aware that if we wait to act on climate change at a later date, it's going to be significantly more expensive than we act on it today. Hence, Tragedy of the Horizons. Suddenly, climate change, which is a component of E, becomes an insider game. And out of that was launched the Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures. And the third thing that happened was that Sustainable Development Goals were formally launched by the United Nations. It's a long way of saying that ESG is now an inside model, and institutions all over the world are determining their pathway and how to move forward with ESG.
So, like Gabriel mentioned, while we talk about ESG factors in individual capacity, the essence lies in understanding the interconnectedness of ESG factors in business and society. Because improvements or deficiencies in one area can affect the performance and outcomes in other areas. For example, let's talk about how climate change mitigation and ethical sourcing in the supply chain connect with the overall ESG principles.
So when it comes to climate change, companies are really stepping up. They're focusing on reducing emissions, you know, through things like using renewable energy and being more energy efficient. And it's not just about the environment. They're also making sure workers are treated fairly and considering the communities affected. Plus, strong governance plays a big role here, making sure these goals are set ambitiously and actually followed through on. And when we look at the supply chain, it's all about sustainability. Companies are working on reducing waste and being more efficient with resources. They're also making sure that their sourcing is ethical, protecting worker rights, and supporting local communities. And of course, good governance is key here too, with transparent management ensuring everyone's playing by the rules and building trust. So you see, it's not just about one thing. It's about how all these aspects, environmental, social, and governance, work together to create a more sustainable and responsible business. It's really fascinating to see how interconnected it all is.
Well, that was the first of a three-part series around ESG. I hope you now got to know the history around this. In the next episode, we'll delve a little more specific around the role of ESG in business operations. Yes, we will have another expert in the space, so stay tuned. So at a personal level, if you want to get started with ESG, I have a tip for you, especially if you are considering something around investing. There are a whole lot of funds and investment options around ESG, which claim to directly fund companies with good intentions. In fact, I have personally tracked a few mutual funds with ESG thematic focus. So maybe give it a shot. Special thanks, as always, goes out to Terra Generation for the cover arts for every episode. They are a content agency specialized in telling stories in climate, biodiversity, and sustainability. For more info, check terrageneration.com. Well, with that, it's a wrap on this episode. I will be back in about a week's time. Until then, this is Girish Shivakumar signing off. And as always, thank you for listening.